Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. The Armor Report is all about investing in the millennial stock market. It's all about managing risk first and capturing upside second. And what I like to do is break the show into three parts. First, we go over the news of the day and how it affects our algorithms, which are the main tool of the millennial investor when it comes to executing correctly. Then we skip to a basic rules of the road when it comes to investing. I've been doing this over 30 years. I'm building a list of investment rules for my two children. I have a five-year-old and a two-year-old. And I'm going to share those nuggets with you periodically. Today's rule is going to be rule number one on the list. Okay? And then we end the show with some fundamental information flows off of our trading desk. This is a live show. It's a live trading desk. I'm managing capital right now as I'm chatting with you. And what we're doing on this desk every day is we marry traditional fundamental analysis of companies and investing trends with the millennial execution tools that include things like algorithms and exchange-traded funds. This isn't your dad's stock market. It's not your granddad's. The way you have to deal with the cacophony of information thrown at you from all sides is to use tools of today like algorithms. If you don't use these type of tools, you just constantly get fleeced by the market volatility. Or, even worse, you get lulled into a sense of either false security or lack of ability to make decisions because of the cacophony around you. Either you think to yourself, hey, the last 10 years have been great, and you totally forget what it was like to go through a bear market where, you know, 10 years worth of investing performance was wiped away in a couple of months. Okay, that will happen again. We just had a little tremor in October. In case you forgot, it just ripped away some serious net worth. But, of course, now in November, it's starting to pack it back on. So there's a lot of complacency out there. People just think, hey, the market has 1 month sell-offs, and it's back to the races. Everything's fine. That's a very dangerous, complacent behavior. So what we do is use algorithms to tell us when to put capital to work. And we were telling you here on this show at the end of October to begin putting risk capital back on. And we told you at the beginning of October to take all your risk capital off. So we were able to sidestep the sell-off in October simply by using our algorithms. And then start committing capital again at the end of the month. On the 31st, just go look at our website, rosenthalcapital.com. We have a real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor. It tells you the dates of when risk-on was recommended based on our proprietary algorithms that were designed for the dynamic volatility of each index. Dynamic is key. That word dynamic is key. Our algorithms take into account volatility of each index. They have their own volatility behavior and profile that changes over time. So this is not a static algorithm that becomes obsolete. It learns and grows with the market depending on the type of volatility that we're seeing. And it's very effective. We have profit factors on these algorithms for these big indexes of 8 to 10 times, which means for every, let's take a look at, let's say the NASDAQ 100, we have better than 10 profit factors. So for every dollar of losses over a 10-year period, we have $10 worth of gains. Think about that. Let's take a look at the S&P's profit factor. 8.99, so let's call it 9. For every dollar we lose, we make $9. How do we do that? how do we have a return that solid using an algorithm? It's really not rocket science, and it's not a neural network, and it's not something that was devised, you know, that's in a black box that'll blow up at some point. All it does is tell us when the reward versus risk is appropriate. We put capital to work. We have targeted exits on the way up. We have the correct stop on the way down. That's how you get a profit factor that high. If your stops are wrong, you get taken out of positions before they go up a lot, and you can't create a profit factor that's close to 10. But if you stop your losses correctly, and so that's a bit of the secret sauce, if you will. Our algorithms that help us invest in the S&P using the ETF SPY, NASDAQ 100, QQQ, small cap index, IWM, the Dow Industrials, DIA, and the mid cap index, MDY, they're all calibrated for the volatility on a dynamic basis of each index. Then this is key. It allows us to stay in the market to capture dramatic upside moves, but knows where to say uncle to protect our assets on the way down. This is precisely what it did in October, and it's got us invested now for the rise in November. So what I like to do is look at how the news stories of today affecting these algorithms. So we had risk on October 31st, and then the first day of November, we had a couple other indexes showing up, and we tweeted out. You can follow us on Twitter at hashtag ARMR Report, A-R-M-R Report, Algorithmic Risk Management Research. We tweeted out there that the triple Qs, we are not putting money in right now. It's risk off for triple Qs. It doesn't mean that Qs can't go up. Just means based on our algorithm that has a profit factor of better than 10 over a 10-year period, even going back 15 years. But personally, I think the last 10 years is the only thing that matters. That's the world changed after 2008, and we have a new market we're dealing with. And so that's kind of the more important information. But I can go back 20 years, and we have the same type of profit factors. And what our algorithm is saying is, we're avoiding the QQQ right now, but the algorithm is picking up five different technology type indexes. So we are involved in the technology space, just we're focusing on different exchange traded funds right now. And I'm going to go over that later in the show. We'll wrap up with our research alerts on where we're focusing our technology investments right now, because we're avoiding the triple Qs, we're avoiding XLK. And these are indexes that have a big exposure to Apple. And, of course, Apple's earnings were a disappointment. So that skews the data there for right now. So the election night results, we went over this yesterday. It doesn't change at all, of course, our algorithms. In fact, it just proved the algorithms were right as the market exploded higher. And we were long the indexes before election night. So there's another example of, you know, and this is going to play into what, you know, our number one rule of investing, which I'll share in a minute. But a lot of the times, an investor sees a quote main event coming in the news cycle and ends up being hamstrung and can't make a decision and doesn't put any money to work out of fear, because they're reading the newspaper, watching the news, and the country's, you know, hysterical, and, you know, we're going to have some type of election night craziness, and so stays away. And that's a mistake. You wanted to be long. You needed to be long in front of the election results, as our algorithms were telling us. And the reason was the algorithms were saying the reward is worth the risk being taken. And, of course, it turned out to be true. Things went the correct way, the expected way. There was no blue wave. There was no red wave. There's just a split, and everyone was ready for that. And so the market skyrocketed. And the entry signal at the end of October, early November, paid off. Now four out of our five positions that we have on the big indexes have all hit raised stop status, which means theoretically the exception of a massive gap down overnight, we should be able to exit these positions at a profit. They've hit their first target that allow us to raise stops using the algorithm. Okay? So nothing's changed there. And the big piece of news coming out today will be what the Fed has to say, probably around 2 o'clock. And that could completely derail this rally, by the way. It could. That's why we got raised stops. That's why we're going to protect capital. If things go awry, we're not going to fall in love with the net worth improvement over the last week. I mean, to me, when I see the net worth jump like this in a week's period off of a new risk on entry point, all it means to me is I was able to put some money to work and hopefully I can get out without losing money. Right? It went up enough for me to raise the stop so that I can wall off my risk, and now I'm playing with the house's money. If it continues throughout the rest of the month, maybe to the end of the year, we're going to make a lot of money. If it rolls over for whatever reasons, let's say the Fed comes out today and says some very hawkish things that scare the market and drive it back down to the lows of October, we're not going to run all the way down with our portfolio to the lows of October. We're going to get stopped out at a small profit for our entire portfolio, and we'll wait to reset for the next risk on entry. But chances are, I mean, I doubt the Fed's going to come out and say something horrifically negative. They're just going to continue to say we're going to raise rates at a modest pace until we get to the level, blah, 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 which the market's kind of getting bored of hearing. And so hopefully that'll be what they say, and this buy signal's for real, and we're going to get a nice run to the end of the year. And anybody listening to the Armor Report is totally positioned for this. Now let's get to today's rule of the day. I'd like to share with you a list that I would like to give to my children when they turn 18. I have a daughter and a son. Son who's 5, daughter who's 2. And I'm building a list of everything that I've learned in my life. And part of that list is about investing. I'm building a list of philosophy as well for my children. And if you'd like to know that, I'll start sharing that list with you also. But I'm going to share with you the relevant parts of the list that have to do with investing. And so, in a bit of a recap, I've shared with you rule number 12, spend less time focused on the way. I'm sorry, let me start over. Spend less time focused on the why and more time focused on the how to. We don't care so much why the market's going up. We care how we want to position ourselves. I don't spend a lot of time figuring out the why is this happening. Rule number 7. There's a step between long and short, and it's called cash. That's what we were telling you at the beginning of October. Could you make a lot of money short in the month of October? You could have. But for us, we were shifting from extremely long to cash. The market cratered in the month, and we've dramatically outperformed. And now we're making money on the long side. And what happens to guys who go short right away is they make a little bit of money in October, and then they cannot see the turn coming, and they give it all away in the first week of November. So to us, there's a step there. It's called cash. That's rule number 7. Rule number 11, don't let volatility get you off the bus. The market's always trying to get you out of a good position. So you have to know what the correct stops are. We use algorithms that are dynamic and use volatility to tell us where the right stop is. Rule number 2. Reaction to the news is infinitely more important than the news itself. I don't care really what the news is, and I don't care to figure out the why of the news. Just tell me what the reaction is in the market, and does it affect our algorithms? That's all. Rule number 21. If it's so obvious, everyone can see it, then it's not a good investment. If it's so obvious that everyone can see it, it's probably played out already. I'll give you an example. People who buy Home Depot because a hurricane is coming. Can they trade it for a couple days? Possibly. But is it the right time to create a long-term hold? Probably not. You got to figure out other factors about Home Depot. This is why the stock is cratered after hurricane season, because the real problem is the housing market. Rule number 71. Beware of billionaires offering political advice. And I think that's self-explanatory. Billionaires don't become billionaires because they're altruistic. They step on people's heads on the way to the top, and they don't get there. They don't make it to the top and then all of a sudden become the nicest people in the world. They have an axe to grind, and they're real good at grinding it. Make your own decisions when it comes to politics. Not what a celebrity tells you and not what a billionaire tells you. And now we come to rule number one. This is the number one rule. My list of investing advice that I want to give to my children and I'm sharing with you. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Anybody know who said that? You can tweet me, direct message me right now. Tell me who said that. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. At Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal. This is a this piece of advice. I make this rule number one. It was hard for me to figure out which should be rule number one because honestly, they're all important rules. But rule number one to me is this is a philosophical thought about life as well. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky said that. The great one. Greatest player I've ever seen play hockey, bar none. Don't start talking to me about Mario Lemieux. Okay? Wayne Gretzky's the great one. He was unreal. And he says, 100% of the shots you don't take, don't go in. What does that really mean? It means you've got to take your shots. You can't be frozen. You can't do research on a company and believe you think you got it right and then not put money to work because you're afraid. Because that's a guarantee that you won't make any money. You don't take your shot, you're not going to win. You don't take your shot, you're not going to make any money. So what you've got to do to deal with inertia, deal with fear, deal with uncertainty. Deal with your ego. A lot of people don't want to take their shot because they don't want to be wrong. But what good is it to not be wrong and to not make money either? That's wrong in and of itself. 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in. So to help you deal with your fear and your ego and your inertia and your uncertainty, I submit to you the algorithm. That is the execution tool and the discipline you need to release the creativity inside of you and to take your shots down the field or on the net, as it were. Algorithms will help you stay centered, will help you protect capital, but will release you to take your shots down the field, to increase your net worth significantly over time, to help you reach financial freedom and retire early. Or is it financial independence and retire early? FIRE, right? That's what we do on the trading desk. And I'm going to share that with my children. Use this in life and use this while you invest. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Because if you don't do those things, you've already lost. You've already lost. You're not even in the ring. Get your hat in the ring. Find ways to protect yourself. Find ways to protect your assets, but get your hat in the ring. It's not the critic who counts. It's the man who takes his shot. Teddy Roosevelt. That was a paraphrase. So there's all these great men that understand this. And if you want to be great in investing, you want to be great in your life, greatness is about taking your shot and taking your risk and managing the fallout. Now, we use algorithms to manage our fallout. And it helps release us to take our shots. That's why we're so aggressively long cannabis stocks right now. We got our algorithmic entry point and we hit it at a level that's four times as big as we hit it in the middle of August. It's so rare you get a second shot at a watershed event. You had to put money to work when MJ came back down to $28, $29, right in the middle of the implosion in the stock market. What gave us the courage to do that is our algorithms. Helps us put money to work. Helps us stop our loss when we're wrong. We've had a big run-up the last couple of days in the marijuana stocks. Look, the whole thing could reverse and crater, and we'll have to get out, and that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, people. Sometimes it happens that way. But we're up enough at this point where hopefully we'll be able to stop our loss with a profit on these stocks and live to fight another day. But if this was the entry point that you don't see again in your lifetime, we just put a serious amount of capital to work, and between now and the end of the year could have a huge success in the portfolio. We took our shot because 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in. Okay, shifting gears now to how we're playing this most recent buy signal. We're not in the triple Qs. So if you're looking at our website on a real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor, I put up there for you the groups that we are using. There's exchange-traded funds that we're focusing on in the technology space. Let's go over it. Grab a pen, a piece of paper. Write this down. Of course, I'm going to throw out this caveat that you have to determine your own risk. I don't know you. I don't know your portfolio. I can't tell you how much capital to put into these names. I can't even tell you whether or not you should invest, okay? I don't know you. I'm just telling you what I'm doing on my trading desk with my personal capital, and then you have to look in the mirror and determine the type of investor you want to be, how much risk you want to take, and whether or not you want to make these investments. They're all your own decisions. All I'm doing today is sharing with you what I'm doing professionally with my own capital. So we are using as our technology investments HACK, H-A-C-K. These are exchange-traded funds of specific technology groups. This, of course, HACK is your cybersecurity investment. You can invest in the individual names in this ETF. You can invest in your own individual names. We like the liquidity and the diversification of ETFs, we feel it's a little more conservative way to run money. Every now and then, we take a name that's inside the ETF that we've done research on that we love, and we put that individual stock in the portfolio as well. So we build a portfolio where the biggest amount of our capital is in the big indexes, the ETFs of the big indexes. Then the next level of capital are in these type of exchange-traded funds that focus on particular industry groups that we feel the trends are the strongest. And then the smallest part of the portfolio for us will be individual stocks, where the risk is greater. But, of course, the reward is significant. Okay. All right. So, HACK, H-A-C-K. IPAY, I-P-A-Y. This is an ETF of the payment systems. Now, you know, here's a good example of why I didn't run out there and buy Square in front of earnings. Square stock is, last I checked, it was getting whacked. Square is in iPay. So iPay is down today because Square had a negative earnings announcement. But I think the trend of payment plans, of things like Square and PayPal and Visa and MasterCard, these things to me are very attractive as a trend. So even though Square's down 9%, I didn't run into Square in front of earnings. I own shares of iPay, which is down 0.75%. Okay? I think the theory and the trend is right. I don't want to pick a particular name in that group. Then we have FDN, which, as we all know, is the big cap internet stocks. I think if the market is going to make its way back to the highs, it's no way it can get there without the help of the Amazons and the Googles and the Facebooks of the world. So I've got some exposure there. IGV, Indian Gulf Victor. That's the big cap software space. I don't like the fact that Oracle is the biggest name in that group, but there's so many other software names I love in that group that I'm using IGV as my software tool. And to round it out, the fifth name I'm using is Momentum, M-T-U-M. Mike, Tango, Uncle Mike. This is an exchange-traded fund of the best Momentum stocks. And when the market goes into another uptrend, the Momentum stocks lead. In this particular case, our algorithms on Momentum have a profit factor of above 7, which is pretty phenomenal on an exchange-traded fund that is focused on a group and not a huge index. We're approaching 7.5 in the profit factor there. So Momentum is always something we focus on. So those are the five ETFs we're using in place of the triple Qs right now. And truth be told, I've got about a half of a position exposure on those ETFs right now. So I'm looking for weakness in the market, particularly if the Fed makes comments that people don't like. I'd love to see the market take one more look at the 200-day moving average on the S&P, which would drive these assets down. I could double my positions right at those entry points. And if the whole market just runs away in here, that's okay too. I've got some good exposure. So that's how I'm playing it in my own portfolio. I did mention on Twitter that I was going to talk about some individual stocks. My favorite in the security space, one of my favorites in the big data security space, is Splunk, S-P-L-K. Do your own homework there, but take a look at it. Then there's a couple of smaller names. I'm going to hold off on talking too much about them. I kind of highlighted Domo, D-O-M-O. It's a competitor to Tableau, D-A-T-A, simple. Earnings announcement yesterday. Stock's up big. I think Domo could be an interesting stock. Here's a little piece of information. This is the last minute of the show I'm going to share with you after doing this for 30 years. What I like to do, put on a whiteboard, I like to find IPOs that are up huge on the day of their offering where everyone loves them. And then I track them for 5 or 6 months. I'm looking for the ones that sell off for 5 or 6 months after that extremely exciting first day. I listen to the first two earnings announcements. I'm on the conference calls. If I like what I hear and the stock's double bottom, I like to put positions on. And Domo is in that space. And they haven't made their second conference call yet, so it's a little bit early there. But that's a perfect double bottom. I really like Avalara. AVLR is the symbol. I don't own the stock, though. Some things I listen to, listen to the conference call today. They had a good earnings announcement, but there's just some issues that keep me away from that stock. So I'm not buying that stock today. Okay? Listen, I hope you all have a great day of trading. Be safe out there. See what the Fed has to say today and see how it affects the markets. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow.